Glory to God. Y'all glad to be here today?
Yes.
I am so glad to be here today. What is today? Yes. We are going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice. We're glad. We're glad. We're glad to be a part of a body of believers that believe what the Bible says and that we can have what the Bible says we can have. Amen? We believe in by faith in these things, and we do. We appropriate the Word of God to our life, and we see things happen in our life. And if you're not seeing things happen in your life according to the Word, all I can say is go deeper. Dive into the deep end. Anybody ever swim in a pool when they're young? My son was just telling me about this, and it just brought memories back to me, flooded my mind with memories. We used to, down in Richmond, belong to a swim club down there, and it was, they had an Olympic-sized pool. They had a deep end. They actually had diving boards. They actually had a high dive. You don't see many of those anymore these days, but, man, we had kids falling off of that thing all the time. Anyway, we would play this game, Shark Minnow. Has everybody heard Sharks and Minnows? And it's a 12-foot deep end. And, man, I was probably 10 years old, but I had lungs like a whatever. I mean, I could stay down underwater for a long time back then because we swam. I mean, that's all we did all summer long, you know. We'd go there. And so we play Sharks and Minnows. What did I miss? Aquaman. Yeah, I didn't have quite, not quite like Aquaman, but I do like his green suit. Maybe if I had a suit like that, I could do like that. But sharks, but I thought I was Aquaman, I'm telling you. Because we would dive down, we'd play drains. I don't know if y'all, but the drains in the bottom were safe zones. And if you could go down and you were touching the drain, well, then the shark couldn't touch you. And anyways, diving into the deep end and going down to the deep and just sitting and resting on that drain. And you'd sit there and you'd look up. You got all these people swimming and people going after them. I don't know what that has to do with diving in the deep end, but it just brought back to my memory about diving down into that 12-foot pool and getting into the deep end. Reggie, don't laugh at me. I know it has something to do with something. Going down into the deep end, diving into the deep end. And that's what we got to do with the Word. We got to dive down into the deep of the Word and just rest in that safe place. Rest in that safe zone. Rest on that drain. And soak up the Word. We got to get out of the shallow end and go deeper with God. We got to get out of this periphery, in conversations. When you have a conversation with someone and you just talk about surfacey stuff. Oh, how's your day? Oh, it's great. How's the weather? Oh, the weather's doing good, you know. Hope it don't rain today. Well, if it rains, I need some rain on my crops. We got to get out of the surfacey talk and go deeper with God. We got to dive down in and go deep. Amen? And that's where I want to go today. We're talking about getting deeper and going deeper with God. And so I want to encourage you in that today and how we're going to do that. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Oh, and by the way, let me just thank all those that have stepped up and agreed to do some things within the church where areas we have had need, whether it be in the back with the youth or kids or the little ones and their nursery and the sound and all that. I just wanted to thank everybody who has stepped up. I believe that great things are going to happen in those areas. And if God is dealing with you to volunteer and help in an area, please listen and be obedient. Don't be fearful about it. Don't say, where am I going to get the time? Or, I don't know how to do that. I've never taught kids before. Well, the great thing about teaching kids, they're very forgiving. They are. And they're very loving. And I'm telling you, you get attached to them. and you'll just want to bless them. But anyways, I just wanted to say thank you for those. And if the Lord's dealing with you, please be obedient to that and help. I believe that we are in a time of preparation as a church. Okay, let me just say that. I believe we are in a time of preparation where we have got to get the there's a word I'm looking for. Structure, yeah, we'll use structure. We got to get our structure in order. We got to get our base, our foundation firm, and I'm not talking spiritually. I'm talking logistically in those areas. So, anyways, thank you. You have 2 Timothy yet? Chapter 3. Let me read verse 16 and 17. Very familiar scripture. You should know this. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, that is, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? How many of you have ever gone into a new job that you had never done before? What was the first thing that happened when you went into that new job? Orientation. They trained you in what you were going to do, right? Kelvin, can you imagine somebody new coming in and they just putting them right out there on the line in Volvo and say, hey, build this truck. Ain't going to happen, right? Steve, can you imagine a new referee coming on board and they say, just throw you on the football field, make some good calls. Ain't going to happen, right? They're going to train. He thought about that for a minute. He's like, well, what? Did that happen to me? I'll use my wife. You know, my wife is a licensed vet tech. I mean, they did not put her in a clinic, put a dog in front of her and says, all right, draw some blood. She'd have been sticking that thing in an eyeball or something. I don't know, you know. No, you get trained. Whenever you come into a new position, a new job, they train you. They train you. You get instructed in that area where you'll be working. Well, guess what? Usually, as your knowledge increases, and y'all can testify this, as your knowledge increases in that area, then your compensation generally increases, right? Right? No? So as your knowledge increases in the area and you apply that knowledge and you gain understanding, then you are compensated for it. Now, you can have a lot of knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't apply it, right? If you don't apply it, it doesn't do you any good. Is that right? You can have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't apply it, it doesn't do you any good. Well, the same applies to Scripture. You have to apply it. You can have a lot of book knowledge, but if you don't apply it to your life, it does you no good. That's like the Pharisees, right? I mean, the Pharisees knew the Torah, the major and minor prophets, backwards and forwards. That was what they did. That's all they did. In fact, Paul calls himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. But Paul didn't understand Jesus until his eyes were open to it. But then once his eyes were open and that understanding came, I can only imagine him, his mind just flooding back over all the scriptures and seeing Jesus. You know, it talks about Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. It points to Jesus. The entire canon of scripture points to Jesus. And I can just imagine Paul's in that moment when he was enlightened, it just flooded his spirit, all the things that talked about Jesus, and it started to make sense to him. He started to get revelation about it. Once his eyes were opened to the truth, he gained understanding, and he saw Jesus all throughout the Old Covenant. And he became so wise that he penned 2/3 of our New Testament, revealing the New Covenant to us. When a job, we get trained, we gain knowledge, we apply that knowledge, we gain understanding or proficiency in that area, we get an increase in compensation. No difference when it comes to the gospel, except we're not being compensated financially, but with wisdom. And I like this definition of wisdom, the ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. The ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. See, if we can have all the knowledge, just like the Pharisees, just like Paul had all the knowledge that pointed to Christ, but he didn't understand it. He couldn't see it. Let me read in 2 Timothy 3 again. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for what? Instruction. Instruction for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness. Well, it's God-breathed, or it's inspired of God, so we can trust it. We can trust this word. I mean, you don't have to doubt anything in this Bible. It is God-inspired. Don't go out and search on the internet and find all these things that talk about discrepancies in the Bible. Don't open yourself up to that. The word right here says it's God-inspired. You can trust that. Like they used to say, you can take that to the bank. You can trust this word. It's God-inspired, God-breathed. And we see that it's profitable. It's profitable for what? It's profitable to be instructed in. When you sit under instruction, you gain knowledge, right? If you have a job and you sit in orientation or a training session. When I went to work in the car business, you wouldn't think it'd be that hard to sell cars. They still wanted you to sit, I mean, through hours and hours of these videos. You had to learn about each car that you were selling, right? I mean, you had to learn all the ins and outs, every detail of every different model and make. I don't know how those poor boys at Sheeler do it. They got to go over about 15 different manufacturers. It's profitable to be instructed in. It's profitable to let us know right from wrong. It says it convicts sin. It's profitable to let us know right from wrong. It's profitable to not only show us where we're wrong, but it gives us the answer on how to fix it. Isn't that awesome? I mean, can you imagine, how many took math when they were in school? What? None of y'all took math? Is that why we have an economic crisis in this country? How many of you took math and then, you know, you figured out the problem and if you're taking a test and you get the big red X on it from the teacher, well, if they never explained how to do it properly, you would just go on and not know how to do that. And the thing about math is it builds on itself, right? I mean, so if you don't understand a concept in the lower math, say just in multiplication or, you know, algebra, you know, that builds on itself. If you don't understand the concept there, then you're not going to, when you get to the higher level math, it's going to cause you a problem. It builds on itself. Scripture's the same way. I mean, it operates that same way. It's profitable to us, and it'll show us where we're wrong, and it'll show us how to fix where we're wrong. And then the Word trains us in the way that we should go, right? In righteousness. It's profitable in training in righteousness. How many want to stand right with God? How many want to be right with God? Well, we know that when we get born again, the blood of Jesus is applied and we are made righteous. When God looks down at you, listen, someone needs to hear this. When God, right now, when God is looking at you, He is looking filtered through the blood of Jesus. And that blood, it's like cheesecloth. It purifies the way He is looking at you. Some of y'all don't know what cheesecloth is. That's all right. It purifies the way when He looks, He sees someone pure before Him. Blameless. Holy. And some of y'all are thinking, no, that can't be me. The things that I've done, the places that I've been, the things that I'm doing now, the things that come out of my mouth, that can't be me. Well, yes, it can. God looks at you and He loves you because of His Son that died for you, sacrificed His life to redeem yours, to bring you back into relationship with the Father. And nothing can keep you from that love. Nothing can keep you from it. If you get a revelation of that, if you get an understanding of His perfect love for you, it'll change your life and how you look at yourself. I'm telling you, it'll change your life and how you look at yourself. Because some of you, I know, some of you look at yourself and say, oh, you don't like what you see in the mirror. But that person that you're seeing in the mirror is not the person that God sees, because He sees you through His Son Jesus. You need to understand that. I'm telling you, His perfect love, it casts out all fear. There'll be no fear, no fear of death, no fear of not being loved, no fear of walking in depression, no fear of being oppressed, no fear of being used and abused. Perfect love, His perfect love for you, cast all that fear out. So the word is profitable. Profitable for instruction, profitable for us to know right from wrong, profitable to give us answers on how to fix or correct error, profitable to train us in righteousness. Why? Why do we need to do all that? Say that again. Right there. To help others is how I put it in my notes. To be an effective witness. To help others. Right? We're not an island unto ourselves. We're not. We're not just, you know, I'll do this for me and this is good enough for me and me alone. The reason we need to go deeper with God is so that we can increase our knowledge, apply it and gain understanding so that we can be wise in the things of God so that we can share them with others. And encourage others. When we go deeper with God by reading His Word, we gain knowledge of His Word. But again, that knowledge does us no good unless we apply it to our lives. And when we apply it, we gain more and more understanding of spiritual things. We grow in wisdom. It is possible. Even Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom. Right? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. We can grow in wisdom. Why? So we can live victory every day. And somebody says, oh, that's impossible. No, it's not. Because your definition of victory may not be the same definition that I'm talking about. You can say to yourself, well, how can I be suffering in my body and living in victory? How can I be going through a divorce and living in victory? How can I weather the death of a loved one and be living in victory? How can I do that?
You can. We just read it. We just read it.
You can live in victory in every area of your life, no matter what you're going through, whether troubles or sufferings. You can walk in joy, and you can still help others. In fact, you know, when you go through those things, you know, we just sung about it. All things work together for those that love God. All things work together for good that those that love God. When you go through those things, I believe, and you go through them and you can use that to help someone else that may be going through the same thing later down the road, because you have that experience that develops character, maturity, and you can apply that, use, you know, being led by the Spirit. Right? We know God doesn't cause those bad things, right? Come on, we know this. He doesn't cause those bad things to in your life to come, but He will use them. He will use them for His good, to bring glory to Him and His kingdom, and He'll use you in that, because you can share with someone that may be going through something very similar, some very difficult situation. How many have ever, if you've lost a loved one, even a parent, right? If you've lost, if a parent has gone on to be with Jesus and you've walked through that season in your life, and you've come out of it, and you know someone, and they, you know, their parent dies. Well, you now have something that you can share with that person to get them over into victory. Right? Because if they stay somewhere too long, that can go down into depression. And we ask them, we don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. Is this helping anybody? I believe it is. It's helping me. Why? Why do we need to be instructed and trained in the Word of God? Why do we need to go deeper with God? One, so we can live in victory every day, and the other is so that we can teach others how to be victorious. Right? Me be defeated? Impossible. Impossible. You've got to get that attitude. And it's not being cocky. It's not being, you've got to get that attitude where I cannot be defeated no matter what comes my way. No matter what comes my way. I remember back in Florida when we were living down there, and I had a job that I worked out of the house, and I would travel. I was a regional sales manager for the Eastern United States, and I would travel to all these different locations to our customers. And great job. Great job. And then one day, I get a phone call. Hey, Todd, we're not giving you any notice, but we're eliminating your position. We're eliminating both of the regional sales managers, and we're going to one national manager. And we've already got someone for that position. And I remember, and that there's no coincidence. That night, we had a men's meeting, right? And so I went to the men's meeting, and the gentleman, I didn't know him well at the time. Good friends now. We still try to keep up with them, what's going on there. Sat across the table from me. And before we ate the meal, we're just chatting. Hey, brother, what's going on? Well, I lost my job. He's like, oh, man, that's no problem. He says, something better is going to come along. And that's exactly what I needed to hear right in that. And I never did ask him, but I can only assume he'd probably been through something like that. And he encouraged me in that moment. That's what I'm talking about. Encouraging others to live in victory no matter what comes their way. And that's why we need to go deeper and continue to go deeper with God, to dive into the deep end. In verse 17, out of Timothy there, 2 Timothy says, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Someone comes to you with a situation, what is your first response? If someone comes to you, maybe it's bad news, maybe it's a situation going on in their life, maybe they just want to complain, I don't know. What is your first response? Just, you know, as you're going through this week and the weeks to come, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to quicken you to your first responses to people as they come to you. And I want you to make a mental note. The Holy Spirit is going to quicken you to make a note what your first response to that is. Whether it's bad news, whether it's whatever it may be, whether it's an issue at work. What is your first response? I can tell you what it should be. It should be what the Word says about that situation. That's what it should be. But you're not going to know what the Word says if you don't dive into it and dig into it and get into it. You cannot. I say this all the time. You cannot. You cannot just rely on Sundays to fill you up. I mean, I don't read my devotional every morning anymore. I don't do that. I can tell you for a fact that I don't think an hour goes by that God is not involved in either my thought, my speech, my actions. And I don't say that out of conceit. I'm just telling you that that's just where I am. I don't have to feel guilty about not doing a devotional every day because I know where my thoughts are. I know where my mouth is and what it's speaking. We've got to do this, church. We've got to grow in this area. We've got to know what the Word says. We need to read it. We need to hear it. We need to heed it. Amen? And I love, let's look at just the end of verse 16 again, how the Amplified breaks this down. He's talking about training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, in purpose, and in action. Every thought, purpose, and action according to God's will. Conforming every thought, purpose, and action to God's will in your life. We have to train ourselves in His Word to conform to His will. And that is what it means to go deeper. Training ourselves according to the Word of God. Training ourselves according to the Word of God. Training in righteousness. Training in the right way of living. The right way of doing things. The right way of saying things. The right way of thinking things. How many know your thinking can be skewed? But when you get your thinking in line with the Word of God, and that drops down into your heart, then out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. What you speak will be in line with the Word of God. Amen? That's what we're talking about. That's what I want to encourage you in. Going deeper with God so that we can set some things in place, get some things in order, rightly dividing the Word of God so that we can share it with the rest of the world. And we share it correctly. Right? We share it correctly. No condemnation. Just the simple, pure love of God. Simple, pure love of God. Simple, pure love of God. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You inspired this Word. You breathed it forth. You inspired men to write it down as a record for us
But Lord, we understand that this record for us does us no good unless we open it up and read what is on the pages. Unless we are led by the Spirit to mesh it with our spirit, to help mold us into the image of Christ according to your will. And we do this all so that we can help others. So Lord, I thank you that every person in here gets a revelation of your perfect love for them as seen through the blood of Jesus. And as they get that revelation, as that revelation becomes more and more real to them, it will give them the boldness and the courage to go forth and be a powerful witness for you in this earth. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that they be emboldened. We all be emboldened with this understanding of who we are in Christ and the love of God for us. And that as we understand that perfect love, it casts out all fear. All fear just is erased when we understand your perfect love for us. And we can live in peace and have peace in ourselves. So I speak peace. Peace that passes all understanding resonate in you today. Take up abode inside of you. Rest inside of you so that you can communicate the love of God to all those around you. And you can do it with a clear conscience. Listen to this. Listen to this. Some of you, some of us, I believe, don't share the good news because we're conflicted within ourselves. Because we think we're not good enough. Because we do things and we say, I can't do that. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You're not being a hypocrite. Because when God, when you get this revelation of how God sees you, that's who you really are. And when you get that revelation, you'll be able to share with others with no condemnation, no guilt, because you're just spreading the love of God. Amen.